Hi, my name is Will McHenry. I am the program associate for PONAR's Eurasia, and I'm here to record a podcast with Sufyan Jumukov. He is the senior research associate at PONAR's Eurasia, and he's recently published a couple of books. First, Putin's Olympics, the Sochi Games and the Evolution of 21st Century Russia with Professor Robert Ortung. And then another book, which we'll be speaking about today, Mass Religious Ritual and Intergroup Tolerance, the Muslim Pilgrim's Paradox, which he published with another PONAR's member, Mikhail Alexeyev. Sufyan, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast series.
Thanks for inviting.
Great. And I look forward to asking you some questions about this recent research. So what is the Muslim Pilgrim's Paradox?
Well, that's how we called our book with my co-author Mikhail Alexeyev from San Diego State University. And it refers to this famous 17th century religious book, Pilgrim's Progress. So in our case, Muslim pilgrims as paradox has been observed by several researchers groups, including one recent study by a group of scholars at Harvard University. And the paradox is very interesting. It turns out that when Muslim pilgrims from all over the world go and perform Hajj in Mecca annually. There are from 2 million to 4 million Muslims performing Hajj, which is one of five pillars of Islam. So the recent studies show that pilgrims come back more tolerant in many ways, more tolerant in gender issues, more tolerant to other Muslim branches and schools. But most importantly, they come back, as research shows, more tolerant toward secular ideas, more tolerant toward the West, including the United States and European Union, which is really a paradox because they never meet secular people on their journey. They never meet Americans or Jews or Buddhists. However, they come back and become more tolerant.
Fascinating. So how does the Hajj pilgrimage make Muslims more tolerant?
The key point here is socialization, because Muslims who live in their like small communities around the world, and in this particular case we studied Russian Muslims from the North Caucasus, so they don't know about the diversity of Islam, so they think that whatever small examples of Muslim behavior, Muslim way of thinking they have in their little Muslim communities is the true one. However, then they perform pilgrimage and they encounter Muslims from dozens of countries. And they see that this is very diverse group. So that diversity makes them much more tolerant. So, for example, we conducted focus groups with Muslims who wanted to perform Hajj but didn't have chance. Two groups, females and males. And also we conducted focus groups with Muslims who performed Hajj pilgrimage, also a female group and male group. And we discovered that the views of those who performed Hajj are more diverse. So there are many examples. However, I'll just one famous concept in that is observed by outsiders in Islam, the attitude of Muslims toward pictures. So those who didn't perform Hajj believed that it's a sin to take pictures. So when after, and we just discovered this very absolutely accidentally, because after each of focus group, we asked the participants just to take a picture with us. So both groups, two groups of men and women who didn't perform Hajj, they refused absolutely. They said, no, this is a sin. We don't want to take pictures. And but the other two group who performed Hajj, they said, yeah, sure. And we took their pictures and we put them in our book. And this is very interesting because those who perform Hajj, they see that everybody's taking pictures. And every Haji, when he or she comes back home, they usually have a photo album of how they, like, which is not much different from any traveler's photo album. So that's one of many, many examples. So, however, we researched this more in depth, and we arrived at this kind of theory, the social theory, that Hajjis go through three stages. So that's what we kind of call the structure of Pilgrims' paradox. So first is repositioning. So Hajjis from Russia, from India, from the United States, or from many parts of the world, they go from one civilization, from one culture, to a very different one, to Saudi Arabia. And it's absolutely different, believe me. That is, like, it's more different than anybody can imagine, than I could imagine. So that's kind of cultural shock. And it's similar, for example, to in many ways to the cultural shock that I had when I arrived first in the United States. And I also kind of reflected on that. The second stage is, we called it recategorization, when people see that everybody's equal during the Hajj. Everybody's dressed similarly, or like this, millions of people had have access to the same kind of services. And this is something that Malcolm X famously experienced in when he performed his Hajj pilgrimage in 1963. He describes it in his autobiography, how for the first time, he being black racist, encountered this millions of people who were equal, anybody from Africa, from the United States, from Asia, from Europe, everybody, whites and blacks, were the same. And that changed Malcolm X, and he stopped being racist. He came back from Hajj absolutely transformed. In the third stage, we called it repersonalization. It is when Haji, pilgrim, changes his view about his own or her own identity. Because before going to Hajj, usually people think that they would change, they would never commit sins or like reject everything secular, etc. However, during the Hajj, they understand that you can't do it without, you can't split between secular and religious without developing mental problems, mental issues. So they accept the secular, they accept this world, and when they come back, for example, to Russia, they are more tolerant to the cruel Russian state, they are not distracted by like anger, like pushback toward the secular norms of the state. So people go through these three stages. However, we don't claim this is kind of universal and like you take a terrorist and send him or her to Hajj and the person becomes transformed, because one of the most infamous examples of it is Osama bin Laden, who also performed Hajj. So this is not like so practical and universal thing. However, the studies show, and not only ours but many others, that this is a general trend, that people go through the stages, repositioning, recategorization, repersonalization, and socially become more tolerant.
How do you apply your theory outside of the Hajj and outside of Islam?
We devoted to these two issues, two chapters of our book. First, we took this out of Hajj and compared Muslim communities in European Union and in the United States. And the difference is that in Europe, usually people come, Muslim communities come from particular places. So, for example, in Germany, majority of the Muslims in Germany come from Turkey. Majority of Muslims from in France arrive from Tunisia and Algeria. Majority of Muslims in the United Kingdom arrive from former United Kingdom colonies. So, and this usually is not very diverse. Meanwhile, in the United States, Muslims arrive from about 75 different countries, and it's extremely diverse. There is not a single group in the United States that dominates. So because of that, the researchers, not our research, but the researchers that we used, like Pew Research and others, they show that Muslims in the United States are more integrated, much more integrated in the United States society than Muslims in Europe. So, and that's how we apply it outside of Hajj. Then we took one step further, and in the last chapter of our book, we applied this outside of Islam. So we took two Latin American organizations, National Council of La Raza and League of United Latin American Citizens. And when we studied the history of those organizations, we saw that the League of United Latin American Citizens, otherwise called LULAC, it was predominantly Mexican-American organizations with little diversity, and as such, it was losing its members until it transformed, and they decided that they would become more diverse. They would include other Latin American immigrants, and in 1994, for the first time, they elected the first woman president. So as soon as they became more diverse, they became more popular. Meanwhile, the other organization, National Council of La Raza, from the beginning, they have had rules that the organization could not be dominated by Mexican Americans, which is 65% of Hispanic population of the United States. And within a decade, they became so accepted, they became so integrated in the United States that they became funded by the federal government. They actively participated in the United States politics and registered more than 500,000 new Hispanic voters. So the example of these two organization showed the value of diversity versus when an organization or a community is dominated by one big majority.
Fascinating. Well, thank you so much for appearing on the PONARS podcast series, Sufyan, and we really look forward to your further research going forward. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.